I'm literally checking it as we speak.
He has not got a price, Serge. Stop it.
There was four strikers for West Ham that had a price.
Yeah, who are they? You sure can't.
Antonio, Haller, Ajeti.
Yeah.
Football Show. Hello, patrons, and welcome to Tot and Ham, season four, season two of Tot and Ham, or whatever you want to call it. It's a season new season two. It's a new season of Tot and Ham.
What do we want to do with these? Do we want to start calling them season two, episode one?
Who knows? It's all patron stuff, isn't it? So
it don't fucking matter.
No, they're the least important people in the world. So, patrons, Tottenham this week, we're going to have a little bit of a rundown at some of the FPL assets that we have in from West Ham and Tottenham, and a few other bits and pieces that we have to talk about as well. James, why don't you start? Tell us about the Carabao Cup.
I'm going to do that in a sec, because first, you know when you have moments every now and again where you laugh to yourself out loud on your own?
Yep.
For no real particular reason other than your own stupidity. Well, I've in the last 10 minutes or so literally had one of those moments. So there's images taken of Joe Hart, taken, we believe, from inside Tottenham's Players Lodge, where he stayed last night ahead of having a medical today, an announcement that he's signing for Spurs. However, it's basically 12 o'clock in the afternoon. There's a load of tweets started popping up in relation to Joe Hart in the last half hour or so in Turkish. I'm like, right, okay, well, this is all a bit big fucking news in Turkey, is this? So anyway, I'm seeing all this on the timeline that apparently Joe Hart has agreed a deal with who's this fucking guy? Where is he? Fatih Karagümrük. He's agreed a deal with Fatih Karagümrük. And I'm like, who's this guy, right? So I'm trying to translate tweets from Turkish. Mm-hmm. And then there's someone else that tweeted, yeah, it looks like Joe Hart is going to sign for the Black and Whites. I'm like, ah, this guy must be the owner of Besiktas or something, Fatih Karagümrük. No, mate, Fatih Karagümrük is a fucking team.
Oh, okay.
This is how out of touch I am with what's going on in European football. Fatih Karagümrük is a team in Turkey's Super League. And apparently, there's a lot of Turkish people who think that Joe Hart's now signing for them rather than Tottenham.
Based on what? Because the photos...
Apparently, this team has got an agreement with Joe Hart, so a lot of people seem to be saying. However, it looks fairly legit that Joe Hart did stay at Tottenham's training ground last night, and I'd be very surprised if he doesn't sign for Spurs. What's your thoughts on that? I mean, he was obviously a great goalkeeper for you. I've never criticised him on podcasts in the past.
Who, Joe Hart?
Yeah, no, never.
It's sad when you see players just kind of seeing out their career as... he'll be essentially, what, third choice, do you think?
Oh, yeah, 100%, yeah. Yeah.
So... it feels like quite a fall from grace, especially when you see goalkeepers going late into their 30s quite often. He must not be too dissimilar an age to Flappy Hansky that we have at West Ham. What's Joe Hart?
Oh, he's not 33 or something. It's not huge. So he's old. Three, for a goalkeeper, it's not.
Yeah, he's two or three years younger than Fabianski, right? And you can remember the days when Fabianski was at Arsenal and what have you. Who would have thought that he would have had the more consistency in his later career. So it's sad to see Joe Hart fall away the way he has, to be honest with you. And sit around on benches.
So alarming since, I guess, Euro 2016. He went into that tournament, what, four summers ago? Not really in question that he was England's number one. And now you're talking about him going and being like second choice at Burnley, third choice at Tottenham. You know, getting rotated at West Ham. It's an amazing fall. What I would say is, I mean, like, I've been so critical of him on podcasts. I do think it's a good signing, though. There's a number of reasons for that. One is we need a third goalkeeper.
Yep.
Two, it's got to be an English player. Basically, mm-hmm. you're restricted. You've got to have a certain amount of English criteria in your squad, right?
Correct, yes.
Spurs I don't have enough English players, basically, to name a 25-man squad at the moment. And that's why you've got so many clubs who are going down this route of Man City with Scott Carson, Chelsea this with Rob Green. The chance of your third-choice goalkeeper being needed in a Premier League game, let's be honest, are rather small. Get an English guy in. The West Brom keeper, Sam Johnson, was talking about him briefly yesterday on the podcast. One of the reasons I know about him is because we've been linked with him so much in the last couple of years to come in and do this role for us on potentially big wages. Now, the reported wage for Joe Hart is like 40 grand a week, which is a monster amount of money to be a third choice goalkeeper. But if it just fucking bridges the gap and fills it, then fine. The other thing with us is Loris is susceptible to the odd injury. Every now and again, this happens twice every season. The team sheet will come out for Spurs, and it's like, "Fuck's Hugo! Oh, Hugo got a knock in training yesterday. Oh, Hugo got a little virus or something. He seems to miss like one or two games just individually a couple of times a season. Gazzaniga, you know, I think is shit. So for Hart to potentially put a bit of pressure on that is good. He's obviously experienced. If he's coming in as third choice goalkeeper, you want one of two things. Either him to be very experienced or very young with a lot of potential. There's not really a middle ground for that. And it's got to be an English player. So, yeah, it will get similar to when, obviously, the links with Deeney were happening last week. It'd be like, oh, you buying fucking Joe Hart. I'm not buying Joe Hart, really. I'm buying a third-choice goalkeeper because we need a third-choice goalkeeper. Michelle Vorm's obviously been released. Another goalkeeper who's shit. So, ticks the boxes off. Hart's not worse than Vorm, by the way.
Hart's not worse than Vorm. That's almost...
almost a compliment.
Yeah, it's really digging for positives, isn't it, really? I mean, if you're looking at it from Tottenham's point of view in terms of the transfer window so far, so Hart, probably in. You've got Deeney being mentioned so far. And then you've got Harry Winks on the way out, potentially to Man City, is another rumour. And Oliver Skipp's loan deal to Norwich City is confirmed now, is it? I think for a season. I saw that floating around as well.
I don't know if we spoke about it. But I certainly spoke about it on one of my Ask James streams before we shut down about Parrott going to Millwall. Great move for him. Really pleased for Oliver Skipp. I think is a great, great sign-in for the season for Norwich. I think he could have done a very good job for a couple of the promoted Premier League clubs, actually. Like, I think he could have gone in and done a good job for Fulham or West Brom. I'm a huge fan of Ollie. I first saw Ollie in a Johnston's Paint Trophy match or LDV Vans, whatever it's fucking called this year, where the under 23 team played at Wimbledon. And that was only like two years ago or so. And he was 16 and he stood out head and shoulders, the best player on the pitch. So calm on the ball. He plays like a man in the sense that he's not physically a man yet, really, but He doesn't mind the physicality, doesn't get bullied off the ball. He's very calm on it. Always picks the easy pass, never looking to be particularly flash. Mourinho himself has said that he can actually see Skip potentially being a captain for Tottenham in the future. And so can I. I think he's probably not as good technically as Winks. In terms of Winks is very good on the half turn, the way he receives the ball and then carries. Recycles the ball from side to side very well. Probably does that with a bit more pace than Skip. But then Winks, as a kid, a lot of people might not know this, all through the youth teams, Harry Winks played as a number 10. It was only in his later career, I say later career, his later teens, where he then developed into a central midfield player. Ollie's got something about him. I don't know what it is. Really hard to describe. You can just tell with players sometimes that he's got something about him in his the way he carries himself and the way he is on a football pitch. Like, he'll make tactical fouls. He's not bothered. He's 18 years of age, doesn't care. He'll make a tactical foul. I think he understands the game and how it works very well. He'll be excellent for Norwich. Absolutely convinced. He's better than any of the central midfielders they've got. If you expected him to be like a 15-goal-a-season man and all that kind of thing, no.
Not going to happen.
He's not a goal-scoring midfielder. Will he give Norwich a bit of bite and better protection from what they've had? Yeah, definitely. That's a really good signing. Good deal for both clubs because he needs to play football. It's the same with Parrott. These guys need to go and play football. And it's interesting from a Tottenham perspective the change in philosophy, because obviously with Pochettino didn't want these guys to go out on loan. Now, there were certain cases with that. Harry Winks is a good example, where that really worked. Staying in and around the club constantly, being around people like Dembele, Dier, Wanyama, these were good people at their peak for him to really learn from. The flip of it is, Spurs had real success with sending players out on loan before Pochettino came in. Think of Harry Kane. Andros Townsend had about 10 different loans before eventually he broke into the team. And what it also does, interestingly, and I think this is quite important at the moment with the financial situation that everyone's under, is you can get one or two go out on loan. You think, they're not going to make it for us, but they do so well, they become a sellable asset. So a good example of that is a name a lot of guys will be familiar with because I've spoken about him a lot, is Alex Pritchard, who's now on loan at Huddersfield. Now at Huddersfield. So he had a loan spell at Swindon, did well, and then had a very, very good loan at Brentford in the Championship, did really well. And Spurs sold him for £12 million. He only ever played 10 minutes for Spurs' first team. So there's that side of it as well. If in a year or two they decide that Skip isn't going to be good enough to play for the first team, and I think he probably will be, by the way, then suddenly he's a £15 million or £20 million asset, rather than at the moment, what would Spurs get for him if they sold him now? I don't know, probably not a great deal. So
no.
I think there's more positives to these guys going back on loan. I think there's a lot of players who... There's some, for every Harry Winks case where he's benefited from staying in the club, there's others who really could have had the loan and would have benefited from it. So Cole Walker-Peters is a really good example. Cole Walker-Peters is not a baby. He's 22 going on 23. But a lot of people will think, oh, he's young because I've never seen him play for no one. Cole Walker-Peters needed a loan 2 years ago. He needed to go and play football somewhere. And I think you've seen him have the loan at Southampton. Okay, your first choice, and it's benefited from that. So it was a big criticism of Pochettino that he wouldn't let these kids go out on loan. But he was so... What Pochettino didn't want was he didn't want people learning a different philosophy. He wanted everybody to learn under his structure, etc. Mourinho would approach it from a different perspective where... He doesn't really want to be trusting kids in the football team. Mm. He wants them to go out and develop and become men quicker. So for Parrott and Skip, I think they're brilliant loan moves for both of them.
I couldn't have
picked a much better club than Norwich as well, really. Mm. Good coaching, Farke.
Do you think Winks will make it at City if he makes that move? Do you think he's good enough?
So Winks has been linked with a £40 million move to Man City, which it won't happen. For exactly the reasons that I just explained. Spurs can't lose English players at the moment.
Right.
But there is a thinking about it, and I understand this, that a number of Spurs fans think, do you know what, I wonder if he's at the peak now. I wonder in terms of a sellable asset, whether it's the best it could possibly be, because a lot of people are relating it to Eric Dier with Manchester United a couple of years ago, when it was actually quite obvious that Mourinho wanted Dier at Manchester United. And I think there's a lot of people around Spurs who think, in hindsight, they probably could have got a big, big money move for Eric Dier. We're talking probably 60 million or so when he was like regularly in the England team and stuff. Now, if Spurs were to sell Dier tomorrow, you're not getting half that money.
Mm.
So that's why there's potentially a little bit of regret in that. And you know what Levy's like, right? If he sees the maximum potential of money in something, it will potentially interest him. Spurs would have to buy more English if Winks was to go. Interestingly, one link I've seen, and I can't verify it at all over the last 24 hours or so, is Callum Wilson of Bournemouth, who obviously fits the criteria, fits the idea if Mourinho wants a backup striker. Again, it's actually a sensible one to look English to fit that criteria. Now, if Wilson was to come in, I'm not saying he will, it's just something I've heard over the last 24 hours or so, then I could potentially see that Winks move happening, actually. If you
Wilson's
think,
too good, in my opinion, to be a bench warmer, and I don't see you guys paying
him
two up front.
I don't rate him, mate.
Mm. But look,
I've seen
goals.
I don't think he has a killer instinct in front of goal.
Yeah, possibly.
I tell you where it stemmed from, actually. When he got the England call up, thoroughly deserved it, absolutely. And he became one of them players I felt, as soon as I saw him in an England shirt, didn't look right. So some players just sometimes you look at it and you feel like it's not even a, I don't know if you're up to this standard. It's just something mentally I feel like, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure actually if Kane would to get injured for 3 months or so, if he'd be ready to play up front for Tottenham for 3 months. personally. I think it might be a bit too big for him. Would he be a good signing as a backup? I mean, yeah. It's what I always say with, like, even if it was Deeney, you know, who are you going to get in who's going to be happy to play second fiddle? Well, if Callum Wilson gets an offer of 70, 80 grand a week, he might be quite happy to do that sort of thing. I don't know. He very nearly, if you remember, joined, there was a lot of talk of him joining Chelsea, wasn't there, about 18 months ago?
Yeah.
We spoke about it a lot. And at the time, we had the same discussions and went, he ain't the answer for them. We said that then as well. That's not the long-term solution for Chelsea. It's a short-term move, and it wouldn't be a good move for Wilson. I don't think moving to Spurs would be a good move for Wilson. Right move for Wilson at the moment would be something like Newcastle, Sheffield United, something like that. We'd go in and, play, I think.
It's not a bad shout for Sheffield United, actually, Callum Wilson, although they do have quite a few strikers, but, yeah, it's not a bad shout.
In fairness, as much as I'm saying, I don't think he's good enough to play regularly up front for Spurs, for example. He definitely is a Premier League player. There's no doubt about that. He should be playing in the Premier League.
Yeah. What's your... At the moment, in terms of transfer window, we're still in that early stage where a lot of people went away on holiday for 2 weeks after the season ended or whatever they've done and are now coming back into it. So we're not quite at full transfer window frenzy yet. We still got a little bit of time before that comes. Now that all the British clubs are out of European football as well, maybe we'll see a little bit more activity and what have you. But we're still at a stage where you get too many rumours knocking around.
Well, it's worth saying, and it's easy to forget at the moment, it's the 18th of August. The transfer window is going to be up until October the 5th.
It's huge. Late.
Now, I think there is something I need to double check on this, but I think there's a period where you can only make transfers between clubs in the same country or something as well.
Right.
It might even be a little extension where there could be swap deals involved and stuff like that. Swap deals is something I've mentioned. I mean, a lot of clubs are looking for, like these Højbjerg Walker Peters deals, for example, where there's not a lot of money changing hands and both clubs are happy with what they're getting on the end of it. I think you'll see quite a few swap deals when we get near the end of the deadline. I think between now and September the 12th, there won't be much movement, actually. I don't think, between now and Premier League restarting, I don't think we're going to be going, oh, let's make a pod on all the new FPL assets. I don't think it'd be enough to cover a good podcast, personally.
No.
I think there'll be a lot of deals late towards the end of September, actually, because people don't really understand what's happening with the market at the moment.
Yeah, who's got money and who hasn't. I think my club, if we move on to West Ham a little bit, are a classic example where historically we've always opened our mouths too much and talked about this and that. It's been surprisingly quiet from a West Ham point of view in the transfer window. I mean, we'll always get linked with certain players and we'll always get linked with mid-level European assets that haven't really proved it at any big club but are young and up and coming. And we'll gamble on them. That stuff's still happening, but without the conviction of, oh, we really are putting it out there to try and sign as many as we can. So I'm not. I'm quite glad in a way that there isn't this circus that goes around with all of our transfer activity at the moment. I still do think we'll pick up a couple of players, but Antonio being back in the second half of the season was a big plus. If we could keep two strikers fit for an entire season, that would be an achievement. But we can't historically with Haller and Antonio, so we need a third. Albion Ajeti played sod all last season and then gets himself a... He's a Celtic. He's just joined Celtic. So to go to the Scottish champions, I bet you he scores 15 goals or 20 goals this season.
Oh,
up there for
him.
Score
15 goals in that fucking leg.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it is true. So he's gone, which is fine. Jordan Hugo is still floating around, but he'll be gone. He'll either... Listen, mate, you can buy him an FPO if you want right now. He's priced up, mate. So
is he?
Yeah.
What price is he?
That I don't know because I didn't
Shut
give
up.
Him that
he's,
much
he's
attention.
He's not got a price. He's got a price and he's not 4.5 million.
He's
going to be 4.5.
Stop Jordan
it.
Hugo.
No, I know that he's not. There's only four players got 4.5 million price. It's Brewster, Wickham, Davis and Vasiliev, the other fellow at Villa as well.
I'm literally checking it as we speak.
He has not got a price, Serge. Stop it.
There was four strikers for West Ham that had a price.
Yeah, who are they? It's your club,
Antonio, Haller, Ajeti, Jordan Hugill.
He's 5 million, isn't he?
No, he's 5.5 million.
Shut up!
I'm looking at it right here. £5.5 million for Gordon Hugill, who last season...
I'm going to cry.
I'll tell you an interesting fun fact. You know the week that Antonio scored the 4 goals?
No, he got more.
He got more FPL. Antonio got more FPL points in that game than Jordan Hugill played minutes last season. He played 22 minutes in the entire season and amassed a massive 3 points
last season.
Sorry, 2 seasons ago, 22 minutes. So I was looking at the 2 seasons ago. Hell. He amassed a massive 22 minutes, 3 points, and is priced at £5.5 million.
One of the most bizarre Premier League signings ever.
Yeah.
Genuinely. I want to buy a good striker from the Championship. I'll buy one that literally nobody outside of Preston has ever fucking heard of. It's just weird. It's like David Moyes. It's the sort of one that makes you think, has David Moyes done this as a favour? Because he's got people at Preston. He's
Preston
taking a
bung.
You start asking questions.
We did ask those questions at the time.
Jordan Hugill is a West Ham player still.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Brilliant. Ajeti's alone, isn't it?
I'm not sure. I thought, I think it may be alone. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, he's still registered with West Ham in FPL, mate.
He's got the red thing against him. They leave player, once they're in, even if they He'll transfer away, they leave him in.
We could come back as well, so that's why they probably registered him there, isn't it? It's interesting, just to go back to your point on terms of you signing players, some of the names you've been linked with, like Lingard, Smalling, Duffy at Brighton, none of them are particularly inspiring, but actually they're also deals where I think they're for later in the window.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get a better price later in the window than what you get now. I mean, you take, for example, Duffy. If Brighton hold on to Dunk, and I know Sam, FPL Seagull, and a few others seem to think that actually he will stay at Brighton rather than go to Chelsea, then with all the backup they've got now, with Clark, White coming back on top of what they've already got, with Webster, Burn, they've got too many players there at centre-half. You get Duffy for dirt cheap if that's the player that Moyes has identified. Similarly, United, the closer it gets to the end, the more United are going to probably want to get rid of Smalling and Lingard.
Yeah, they want to get him off the wage bill. And
you've got it.
I hate saying this because whenever I say it, it comes across, I feel like it's a racist statement. But I like the fact that I like the fact that we're looking at British talent as opposed to British players, foreign players. No.
That we're looking for black players. You're taking this too far.
I don't necessarily think that British players are better, but for adapting to the league and rolling their sleeves up, which, let's be honest, we're in the bottom half of the table. We need that. I think they just have an understanding of what it takes to survive in the Premier League a little bit better. And flair is not what I'll take work rate over flair any day of the week. So that's where I think this perception that British players understand the Premier League better than foreign imports, I think is true. So if we're looking at a Smalling or a Lingard, they don't fill me with excitement, but I'd rather that than a random 20-year-old wonder kid from, you know, the bottom half of the Portuguese league, for example. I mean, I Googled West Ham United and news, I hadn't heard of half these players. This guy that supposedly West Ham, let me read the headline for you, James. The only way I can
get with it.
Yeah. The only way I can get it out is by reading the headline as I read it. West Ham can land their own Bruno Fernandes in Jovain Cabral.
Okay, cool.
Who?
How the hell are we going to land a player?
So who does he play equivalent? For?
Click on the article. He
plays for Sporting.
Lisbon.
He's in Portugal in the green and white stripes. I'm making the assumption.
That's the natural thing, isn't it? Because Sporting Lisbon's where Bruno come from as well. You hate that, don't you? As soon as you're interested in an Argentinian player who's attacking, the new Messi. I mean, you get it.
Well, here's another headline.
It's such lazy journalism. Fuck off, man.
You've got West Ham can clinch Arnautovic's successor in Duvan Zapata. That was from 2 weeks ago. Like, Arnautovic left ages ago. And why we get like it's the randomness. I've never heard of Duvan Zapata.
The internet is full of clickbait, mate.
Yeah.
Clickbait. Don't click on these articles. That's why, you know, so many people really like what the guys at The Athletic do and stuff like that, because it's trustworthy. It's never clickbait. It's there for a reason. All 90% of people care about on the internet is getting clicks.
Yep.
And that's what that's for. You see headlines all the time of like, Spurs linked with former Man United player. If I want to know who that is, I've got to click on it, haven't I? Fuck off. I'm really not interested. I ain't clicking on your article. There's so much horse shit going around. I'm talking of horse shit to move away from transfers.
Yes.
Because I wanted to share this because literally just before we started, Bradley Parker sent a tweet out. And I literally went to him. I went, mate, where have you heard that? What the fuck? So he tagged me into a tweet sent by a guy called Nathan Judah, who's, I mean, I don't know. He's got a blue tick, but digital sports editor, video anchor, sports writer, podcast host. I mean, I don't really know what he fucking does. But he seems to, he's come up with a scoop that I've not heard anywhere else, which is the following. The winners of next season's Carabao Cup will not qualify for the Europa League next season. They will qualify for the new UEFA Europa Conference League, Europe's new territory club competition. And if you win that, then you get into the Europa League the following season. So this is the competition that's starting, not this season coming, but the one after 21-22. The third European competition where one English club will go into this competition with kickoff times advertised currently of 3:45 p.m. on a Thursday. Do you want to win the Carabao Cup next year, Serge?
No.
I mean, my assumption on this coming in, we'd looked at it, was that probably in the case like this year, where you've got Arsenal and City have won the cups and they've finished in the top seven, then the eighth team, which I think would have been, was that Sheffield United or Burnley this year? I fucking forget. They would have qualified for Europe. Oh, actually, no, it was Arsenal finished. Was it Arsenal finished eighth? Yeah, because Wolves finished seventh in the end.
Yeah.
All right, so then Wolves would have got it in it this time because Arsenal won the FA Cup and finished outside the top seven. So Wolves would have gone into that this coming season. Imagine that after the season Wolves had. Oh, yeah, back in Europe. It's not even Europa League, 3:45 p.m. on a Thursday. I tell you what I think this does, interestingly. So at the moment, essentially, the top five only are guaranteed to play in Europe. Obviously, top four go in the Champions League. Fifth goes into the Europa League. And then you've got the two cup winners. Now, obviously, if the cup winners come from the top five, then it drips down to, it has Tottenham sixth, Wolves seventh, if Arsenal hadn't won the FA Cup. Now it's going to guarantee six teams from league positions, if my understanding of that is correct, into the Champions League or the Europa League.
Mm-hmm.
It's just moving further and further towards the big six, isn't it?
Yeah.
Further and further. So sixth next year in the league will get you into Europe, guaranteed. That's my reading on that. Rather than it nearly always falls below fifth, but next year it's top six, guaranteed.
These decisions don't seem football decisions. You know what I mean? They feel like they're business money decisions, financial decisions, and so on and so on. Not good.
Of course. But obviously, look, Man City always win the Carabao Cup anyway, right? So it will filter down to 7th or 8th in the league probably anyway, right? You need someone outside the top six to actually win it. The point being is, if a club like yourself now goes and wins that, you ain't going in Europa League. You're going in that. You're going in that thing. Where one English team will enter, and it's actually a competition which is largely weighted towards Eastern European teams, where I think you only get like one English team, one Spanish team, and they're going to be mid-ranking English, Spanish teams and that. Like, so these games really are going to be on the other side of fucking Europe a lot, mate. Who wants to be in that? No one, man? And your reward for winning it is getting in next year's Europa League. Fuck me. I'd hope if my team was good enough to win it, they'd be good enough to qualify for the Europa League anyway.
Yeah.
Bloody hell. So, yeah, someone's going to go into that and it'd be really interesting to see how people treat it. I mean, the fact even the kickoff time is 3:45 p.m. on a Thursday. Who can be bothered to take that seriously?
It is bizarre. They may as well just ditch the Carabao Cup if that's what they're going to do with it.
Well, I'm really surprised, and it's probably worth saying as we're talking on Tottenham, I'm really surprised that the clubs that qualify for Europe are actually even going to enter it this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at Tottenham's schedule, which we only have ourselves to blame for being so shit and finishing sixth in the league. So we've got to play, as it stands, the third round of the Carabao Cup on a Tuesday, Europa League on a Thursday, fourth round of the Carabao Cup on a Tuesday, Europa League on a Thursday, in two consecutive weeks.
That's mad.
So we will, if we get to, this is if we get to the fourth round of the Carabao Cup and we win the first two European qualifiers, we will have to play five games in, I think that's 10 days, if I've got that right.
Yeah,
10 whole days, yeah.
Roughly, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to be like Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. And that's fact, that is going to happen to Tottenham. Now, I don't have a problem with it, actually. And my thinking on it would be the following. Third round of the League Cup, fourth round of the League Cup, great. Don't give much of a shit either way, right? Mourinho desperately needs a trophy. He desperately needs it. My football club needs a trophy. Even if it's to play in Europa Conference League the following year, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The teams that we're likely to be playing in Europa League, we should be able to beat. Now, it's possible, actually, in the final qualifier, Spurs could play AC Milan, as it stands, ironically.
Wow, okay.
Because Milan's, I mean, you'd have to get unlucky, but Milan's coefficient's really bad because they've not been in Europe for quite a while. So Tottenham will be a seeded team. If we were to be unlucky enough and get someone like Milan in the final qualifier, then so be it. I'd still fancy we'd beat them, to be honest. I think Tottenham should go into the philosophy of two 11s for each game and have kids on the bench for both. That's how I'd want to treat it. So you'd have like a mixed match of two first 11s. You've got a squad of 25, right? Ideally, you need them all fit. But generally speaking, take one for one game and one for the other, and the benches are then full of youngsters. That's what I'd want to do with it and go for it. I don't think you need to go... what's the priority there? If Spurs are playing Tuesday in the League Cup, Thursday in Europe, Saturday in the Premier League, or it'd probably be Sunday in the Premier League, Tuesday in the League Cup, Thursday in Europe again, what's the priority? Now, the priority is obviously the league game.
Of course.
Of course it is. From a financial point of view, it's then probably the European games, then the league Cup third. But I suspect that's the way Mourinho might go. He might just pick, like, rotating squads for both, rather than just say the Klopp way of doing it, which was, we're just playing the kids. See you later. I don't think Mourinho's going to do that, you know. I think he'll try and get something out where he'll look at it and go, right, I'm playing Kane on the Thursday, I'm playing Son on the Tuesday. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And try and mix it up as a half of one, half a dozen of the other.
I can guarantee you one thing. He's going to moan about it.
Ah, yeah. It's his own fucking fault. Listen, he was fifth in December. Don't believe the nonsense about where he took us from 14th to whatever. We played Chelsea a few days before Christmas. If we beat him, we'd have gone fourth. So don't believe the nonsense about... When he took over, you know how many points we were off for Champions League plays?
I'm going to go four.
I think it was five.
Okay, not five.
It was either five or six. Put it this way, there was a long way to go and the ground could be made up. Now, I'm not blaming him for us not qualifying for the Champions League. We didn't qualify for the Champions League because we were
not
shit.
Not good enough. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not putting it all on his... But the idea of all he took us from 14th to 6th to suit his narrative, stop it, please.
Took us from 6th to 14th to 6th.
It's the first Tottenham of the season. Don't get me ranting.
Yeah, so a long way to go before the season starts. We've still got another 3 weeks of transfers and what have you. And we'll be bringing on our correspondents as well to talk about the clubs, because obviously Chris talks more sense about West Ham and Ricky talks more sense about Tottenham. So
agreed.
People would want those two on ahead. I don't think it's totally true, but it's on the whole true. But
they speak more sense than us.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a draw. Ricky... Chris, you tell us whether you think more. You talk more sense than us.
They'll say no, because they're nice.
Yeah, it's good. It could be good fun to get them both on. We always have a laugh when Ricky's on and Chris is on as well. So I'll be interested to know what Chris has done with his season ticket with all the options available to us at the moment.
Correspondent announcement is coming in the coming days.
It is indeed.
The plans are underway, let's say that.
Yep. yeah, patrons, do tune in again tomorrow for patrons poll. It's quite a close vote at the moment, so keep voting so that your chosen topic gets discussed. We have two options, Premier League and FPL rule changes, and we also have Tom, who got the assist talisman theory. We can do a special podcast on. On top of that, on Thursday, you have your quiz, which is all about the Champions League finals since 1993. And on Friday, the first of the differential shows, where we'll be looking at players that are slightly less owned.
Yeah, we'll talk more about cash mini leagues and stuff like that as well.
We can. So there we go. I hope you're enjoying all of the content now that we're back. Do stay tuned. Do make sure you're active on Slack and interacting with each other. And as always, stay safe. Ciao for now.
Hey! Thanks,
what
patrons.
Timing?
Cue music, man, child.